Have you heard of Raise Them Well? It's our company that we started back when I was pregnant with our second son, Hutch, and we couldn't find the supplements and the trustworthy products that we were really looking for our own family. And so Wiggy and I decided to create our own, and Raise Them Well was born. We provide a lot of different products, including vitamins and supplements for your children, really great magnesium products, prenatal vitamins, and more. So make sure you check out raisethemwell.com for all of those offerings, especially if you're looking to clean up your family's products in the new year and maybe just get a little bit crunchy. Hey, everybody, and welcome to Healthy Discourse. It's Emily here and Dr. Wiggy. And our latest addition, Naomi Jane. You might hear her cooing in the background. It's really precious. So,
Or crying.
or
We'll see.
crying. She doesn't cry very much. She really
No, she really
doesn't.
doesn't. She's a
Yeah.
great baby.
She's a great baby. So we wanted to jump on today and tell you a little bit about her birth story. I've had so many people curious and interested in home birth and just kind of, I don't know, it's just something that I think about 10% of babies are born at home in the United States right now. So that's obviously not very many. And it's definitely grown a lot in popularity for lots of reasons. And I think probably many people are making those decisions based on some of the same reasons that we did, in that I mean, what I've told everyone is I find hospitals terrifying, and the last thing I want to do is try to go there to allow my body to, give birth, which means you need to be in a very low stress environment for that. And not to mention fighting interventions that we don't wish for and so forth. So, this was just such a wonderful experience, and we just wanted to share it. And I think going back, though, it's important to share too, our first two biological boys were both born in a very mom-centered, mom-friendly hospital. Our older son was born, our oldest son was born and a hospital water birth, and it was a great first birth experience. And then our second son came very fast, similar to Naomi, and he was born in the admissions unit about 12 minutes after we arrived. So, both of those were really great experiences, but nothing compares to this. And so, anyway, what do you
Well,
want to say?
I can kind of give the medical
Go
perspective on
ahead.
home births because I think that there's a lot of misconceptions and misunderstanding for it, but also just kind of what my opinion is on home birthing in general. Of course, I'm not the traditional doctor here, so I'm sure other doctors will have disagreements here on kind of my opinion with it. But it does fall, in a lot of ways in line with the way that I see the way medicine should be anyway. So, birthing and labor and delivery has basically become so medicalized. I'm not sure if that's a word or not, but
We use it a lot, though.
right, whereas it's become where this is considered to be like an unnatural thing that needs to be, super monitored, that has to be intervened upon quickly, that you have to use different pharmaceuticals at different times for different effects. You know, it's become just there's lots of different interventions that are done with labor and delivery these days versus in more of a natural approach to, birthing is this is a very natural process. The body knows what to do best, that if you have a good team that can help walk through the process with at a home birth, that understands the risks and the potential complications and understands how to prevent that and how to, position the baby, make sure the baby's in the good position, make sure that the baby is healthy, make sure that the mom is healthy, make sure that everything is lining up for a healthy and successful delivery, then I think that that is the way God kind of designed it. That is the natural process. And so I do tend to think from a medical standpoint, it's best to let natural things take place naturally versus trying to force things or trying to medicalize medicalize it. So from my standpoint, of course, it is hard to be completely objective here with just this being, you know, the first time we've done this.
Yeah.
And with the birth of our daughter, it was a beautiful thing, and everything went super smooth. So for us, for me, it was amazing. And I said, I like the idea of trying to do things again by letting nature take its course. But I do understand that there's some hesitations from sure. different people, and I've had some of those same hesitations. But you know, what if someone goes wrong, or what if there's some sort of complication? But that's why I kind of preface it by saying that as long as you have a team that understands, these are, you know, we need to do step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. As long as all those steps are going in the right progression, then the chance of a healthy, smooth, uncomplicated delivery is so much higher. Right.
Well, and let's talk about the different types of midwives. So there's two different types of midwives. Well, there might be more, but I think that's one of the things that people don't understand too, is that I think we think of midwives as like the, you know, they're the old, like community birth helper kind of thing. And they actually go through a lot of training, precepting, I guess, or helping, interning, and so forth. And so the two types of midwives, there's a certified nurse midwife, which those are nurses who go on to become midwives, and they generally do attend hospital births or birth center births. And then there is a certified professional midwife, and they're trained more specifically or only really on home birth. And so their training is very specific to what they're going to be doing all the time, which is home births. And we had a certified professional midwife. Wiggy, of course, asked lots of different questions about hypothetical scenarios. And I think we were both blown away always by her, how much sense the answers made. It's like, oh, yeah, well, why doesn't everybody do it that way? Like, this makes so much sense. And, and things that Wiki didn't even know about. Sure. Like, I can't remember any great specifics right now. But, and he had to deliver lots of babies. But he was taught to do this. You come in, you catch the baby, you check and make sure everything's fine, and you leave. Like, there was no... You weren't really taught this is how labor works and all of that type of thing. And so it's just a very, very different approach, but it's very logical. It makes a lot of sense. They have a really good understanding of just how everything works, how to better position babies. And also a good midwife is going to know their limitations. So they're not going to take on a client, number one, who is high risk, but their definition of that might be different than the medical model. And they're going to know as things progress. And what one thing our midwife was really great about was that almost always, if there are going to be complications, there are signs before you're in labor. Now, there can be things where the baby's not descending and that sort of thing that become a need for a transfer during birth, but almost always there are signs earlier on that we need to maybe reassess, and she has to transfer paid clients. That's how it works. Like, you know, we can't control all of this, so it's not always that easy. One other thing I'll mention that made me feel so much at peace with this is I'm 41 years old. And so if I were to have gone with a regular medical model, I would have had so many more scans and this and that and the other, which when you do a home birth, all of that is elective. We did do a genetic blood test. We did one that you can just order yourself. And we also did 3 ultrasounds, an early ultrasound to establish heartbeat and everything and estimated due date, an anatomy scan, and then kind of a fun one later on just to check on her growth, even though she didn't like cooperating. So those are the only 3 things that we did outside of my regular visits, and because we didn't have any need to.
Right.
And I probably would have had to have been induced at 39 weeks. She came at 40 plus 3. She's tiny, so she needed those that time.
Yeah.
And that would have just been, you know, so much harder. you know. So that's kind of how the midwifery model works. And my midwife has two, what do they call? They're not students anymore, but they're in training. And they actually were more hands-on. She kind of sat in and coached and that sort of thing. And it was just really awesome watching that training even happen during birth. So,
well, I think, and a lot of it also just, you know, going to the birth itself, just the difference that I really could see was just so how hands-off they were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were there.
They were watching very intently.
And they were paying attention.
Yeah.
But there was very little, like, touching and checking and,
no,
you know, checking cervix. So, you know, yeah, I've delivered over 100 babies, so I have some experience with this. But it's interesting that, you know, the way we're trained, especially again during active labor, is that we need to be checking, you know, like cervix every 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
And seeing kind of what the progression is. Maybe that's changed now. It's been, 11 years since I've been in residency, but it's getting very hands-on, a lot of testing, a lot of measuring things,
yeah,
a lot of monitoring.
So when I think they give everyone an IV now, so or
maybe,
it looks
so
like
there's
it,
some things that are different.
I'm not sure, and you, people that are listening are probably like, no, that doesn't happen. But I never had to have IVs. I had a water birth and then a birth. We're having the baby right now, but it seems to me like almost everyone has to get an IV now. So I don't really
maybe
know why.
And I think that possibly is because the C-section rate has gone up so much,
right,
that you need to have it if you have a C-section.
Yeah.
So it could be because of that. But what's interesting about the home delivery midwife model is it basically how more observant,
mm-hmm,
and coaching there is versus testing and doing different,
mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah,
checks. Again, just like cervical checks. I think, you know, that was one of the questions, like, how do we know how things are progressing?
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, as long as we're getting good contractions, mm-hmm, things are going to be progressing.
Right.
And so we didn't even have to do a cervical check as part of the delivery.
Yeah.
It was offered and it was helpful.
Well, right? And that's I think we should kind of go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And because that's the thing, they're so well trained, they know, they are listening and observing rather than, and what I felt as the birthing mother is that they were monitoring me. They were paying attention to what my body was doing.
Right.
And they had a very good pulse for things. But they weren't interfering with the natural process. Because, I mean, if you've experienced natural birth before, you know, you kind of go inside of yourself. And you're in your own little, like, universe in some ways. And so every time that anyone interferes with that, it kind of takes you out of that, which to me is not helpful.
Sure.
So.
No, so we can either go through the beginning to the end or just talk about some of the.
Sure. Well, I can give a very short overview.
Okay, that's fine.
So Naomi was born last Sunday on October the 22nd, and she, that was on Sunday. And on Saturday, we had our fall festival at our kids' school, and I was having contractions for a couple of days, but I was just kind of bothered there, I guess best way to say it. I just didn't feel like myself. And then after that, Wiggy and I went to grab some dinner, and my contractions were getting a lot more consistent and a little bit stronger, and so I started timing them and came home, and we were so tired. It had been a long day. So I tried to lay down, and fortunately everything kind of stopped because I think we really needed that good night's sleep. So, and then Sunday morning we got up. I did my normal little, I call it a shuffle. It's like basically walking, but I pump my arms like I'm running. I don't know, whatever. Anyway, I did that. Didn't feel anything significant. We went to church. It was wonderful. Definitely had contractions during church, but nothing different than I had been experiencing. Went to lunch, loaded up on some Yama's salad, which was a really good pre-birth meal. And then, we came home and the house got quiet. The boys were out playing and, Wiggy had come up to lay down. I think he knew something was about to happen.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wow, these contractions are stronger than I thought. And once I was in like a quiet space, so I started timing them again and texting with our birth team and letting them know what was going on. And they were definitely getting pretty rapidly stronger. And then as I was texting them, my water broke. And knowing how things were with Hutch, which he came about a little over two hours after that, I was like, oh, let's see. And my contractions definitely intensified quickly after my water broke. So we told all of them to come on. And then you can tell, what did you do? You went and...
then I got involved, of course. So then filled up the bathtub, got that warm water going, helped her relax. Mm-hmm. And then basically took over the timing, also kind of seeing how quickly the contractions were coming. And it seemed like they were becoming a little bit stronger, a little more consistent, a little quicker. So then we decided to fill up the pool, mm-hmm. The birthing pool. And so we had to switch the water into there and get that going. And then, you know, it just seemed like it felt very similar to Hutch.
Yeah, it was fast.
To our second biologic, that it was like, I think this is going to go pretty quickly. And that was kind of my prediction once things started changing. So got her into the pool shortly thereafter. Kind of the team started to roll in. We had four people here.
We had our midwife, her two... her two preceptors and our doula.
So we had a team of four.
As well as our boys. So we haven't mentioned that yet, but they were here the whole time, which was really cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And so, very similar, kind of reminded me of the way things were with Hutch. And so it just seemed like things were moving fairly quick. And so we kind of, again, just watched this, and mm-hmm. the contractions were getting stronger. I can kind of tell by the way that Emily responds to her contractions, how close we're getting.
How primal my sounds are.
So it's just like, all right, I think we're getting there. So I was able to just be more in a supportive role, just kind of be there, just hold her hands while she's having contractions.
He anchored me. I was holding on to him in the pool, and I couldn't let go of either one.
So that was really pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And then, then the contractions kept getting stronger, and...
Yeah. Well, then we were talking about the check earlier. And so what my midwife always says is she only checks if she feels like it's going to be helpful or that she really needs to know something. And I think she could tell that I was getting really close, but it had gone so fast, and it kind of, you lose that kind of sense of time. And I was sitting there going, this has been not very long. This feels really intense. Like I can't believe I'm going to have to do this for a lot longer because it's intense. And she offered the cervical check, which I agreed to because I would just kind of wanted to know where we were. And I'm a very goal oriented person when it comes to these kinds of things. So I'm like, okay, I just want to know. And so she quickly let me know that if I was ready to push and bear down, that my body was ready. And I was very relieved by that because I felt like I was holding it back a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then I think two contractions, two pushes, and
two or three.
Yeah. I don't know how many it was, but.
I think it was like maybe even more.
More contractions?
Remember. Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
As far as actually trying to.
Yeah. No, I think I had to relax a little, like, because mm-hmm. I think I had been kind of holding back, but. And then she was here and we were all right here together and it was so wonderful. None of the boys were in the room when she was born, mostly because they were coming and going. I don't think they realized it was going to be that fast, but they all kept coming in to check on me and then they'd go back to their thing. And, but it was overwhelmingly sweet. And
it was very sweet.
And then they got to study the placenta. They read to her right away. It was just really great to have that as something that I hope will be locked in their memory. And I think one thing we talk about a lot too is just normalizing birth. I mean, now that we do everything so medically, I think it feels like it's a problem, and it's not a problem. It's very natural. So I'm hoping they can take this memory with them, and when they hopefully, God willing, become dads someday, that they can mm-hmm. take that confidence with them and be really great supports and feel comfortable that this is like, yeah. oh, I was there when my sister was born. So.
For sure. Yeah, the other major difference that I could sense with this compared to like hospital births was the environment does make a difference as far as like level of peace and serenity and calm. And I think that does matter for labor to progress normally, is that I think if your body is in a stressed response, it's going to kind of want to tighten up and tense up. And that does, I think, slow down the kind of the process.
Yeah.
So, but it was so much calmer. It was mm-hmm. more relaxed. You know, we had a beautiful view out of our windows. We had worship music on. You know, it was just a much different environment. And so I do think from that standpoint, I could actually see how that could improve
outcomes
and improve normal deliveries, because I think that there is that mind-body connection, and the calmer the mind is, the more relaxed and open the body's going to be.
Right.
And so I think that that actually does improve kind of with just the normal contractions.
Well, and I think too, when you're in the hospital, you definitely don't know your nurse. Right? I mean, that's just generally who's over not. There.
Yeah.
You, and then you're generally, who's the doctor or whoever is, whoever's on call, and maybe you've met them a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then who even knows who else is in and out? So there's this constant disruption, and there's some pretty good research on that that shows that that's not what's best for the body.
Right.
The other big thing I would say is afterwards. So they really let, like, once she was born, we had about 45 minutes that I stayed in the pool. We kept her warm with a wet blanket still. And we just oogled over her. And I didn't realize it was that long until I looked at the time when my placenta was delivered. I was like, that was a long time.
Right.
And then they moved her over to straight onto Wiggy, laying on the bed with all the boys,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, tended to me, which didn't take very long. And then we were all just in the bed together, and they again left us alone. Just we're watching, but we're watching from afar and letting us have that time to bond as a family.
Yeah.
And then, checked me, and then. We had our quiet room for the night.
Yeah.
Nobody walked in. Nobody came to prick her heel.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody came to take my vital signs 500 times as if I need them to do that.
Right.
It was so nice. And I really think, I mean, she's been a dream baby so far. And I've shared that with several other people who've had home births and also hospital births. And very similar experience where the baby's not experiencing all that trauma and all the fluorescent lights and all of this kind of nervous system stimulating things that they're little. I mean, they're so fresh and haven't experienced all that. So not that we slept well the first night from adrenaline and just wanting to stare at her, but we didn't we had a peaceful night. And then and it's just been... So I think that first 24 hours was just a dream to be able to not deal with all of that.
Right.
And
so we've been talking a lot about the benefits of home birth, and I think, you know, we could probably keep talking about how much better it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's also important to consider some other factors as far as who this probably is not best for.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So, you know, one of that is medical complexity. So I do think that if you have a lot of comorbidities, a lot of other health issues, you know, diabetes, high blood pressure, any other, you know, pregnancy-related complications, probably not, you know, probably not the best idea. You do need a higher level of care than that. But besides that, I would say it does come down to, I think, a mindset in a lot of ways, too, is that you have to be comfortable with a little bit of unknown.
Yeah.
And so there is this bit of fear that can play or it can be a part of it. And so I think if you're prone towards fear and worry and anxiety, then also probably not the best fit.
Right.
Because there has to be, you have to basically be calm and comfortable with where you are.
Yeah.
If you're nervous about it, then like I said, I think that probably is not the best.
Well, and I think too, I think where do you feel the most comfortable, right? Like which thing makes you less nervous?
Right.
Like I said, for me, I don't want to step foot in a hospital for any reason. So the thought after what's happened the last 3 years or so of like going and doing that is, that's like not for me, but obviously everyone is going to feel differently about that.
Right. Some people feel more comfortable having all the monitoring, all the devices connected, all the, you know, equipment there and all the specialty care right in house. And I think that's a good point. If you feel more comfortable with that, that's probably the better place to be. If that makes you more stressed, then not necessarily.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, too, I hear so many women say they really wanted a home birth, but their husband was really afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because women do a lot of the research and tell the men, but then they don't really have that for themselves.
Yeah.
And so I would encourage you, if that's the case, to really do some research together. There are some really good statistics out there about how wonderful home birth outcomes are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, the data is there. It's pretty great. The other thing I'll mention, what Wiggy said, people will ask a lot about VBACs, and I know my midwife does a lot of VBACs. I think that for the most part, obviously there's lots of reasons to have a cesarean, but for the most part, I think, it's not something that, is necessarily like medically necessary all the time for most people. So, obviously it depends on all of the circumstances, but that is an option still. It's not that, oh, I can't because I had to have a C-section. So it depends on all of the circumstances around that.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because there does appear to be a correlation with the increasing percentage of C-sections with the increasing percentage of home births.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like as there's more and more C-sections, more and more people are like, well, maybe we should consider
it. Yeah.
And it's interesting.
And this is a little spicy fact, which I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't mention this, but I will anyway. I was very surprised that my midwife shared with me that a lot of her clients are the wives of doctors that work in hospitals. And I was like, no, they're not. And she's like, yes, they are. And so that's telling in and of itself.
Sure.
You can take that for what it's worth, but
sure.
Yeah, so it's, we've had, I mean, our baby is an absolute joy. She's sleeping on me right now. She's super tiny, but well, she was about the same size as our other two biological boys. So, but she's very well loved and smothered by her brothers, and she's been really just such a sweet addition to our family, and she doesn't even keep us up all night.
Yeah, she's great. She's a blessing for sure.
She is. So if you have any questions, you're always free to share those with us. Obviously, send us a message or whatever works best for you. And then also, I think that the next episode that airs, I'm going to be talking with my doula, Christian, again about all things postpartum, just some tips that she has for moms, as well as we're going to talk about placenta encapsulation and what we know, what we don't know, who it might be good for, and all the different ways that it can be helpful, which she's taught me a lot about that. I did not realize, you know, it can be frozen forever and used in menopause, but we'll talk more about that next time. So if you have any questions, more than happy. I could talk for hours about the birth, but we'll just leave it at that for now. So, but if it's something you've been considering, if you're more comfortable at home, do your research and, find a really good team in your area, ask all the questions, and, I can't recommend it enough personally. So,
it was great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next time.